Brother Jason, and appreciate the good singing this morning. It is good to be here with you. I'd like to echo what Brother Joe said about how much we appreciate what everybody did yesterday. I heard so many compliments from our visitors about how good the food was, and Brother David Bant's niece told me that they go to a big church in Hattiesburg, but they hadn't had food like that in a long time. And we have some wonderful cooks, and your efforts, that food is just so good. I just don't know how to. I love the food we serve here. It's just so good, and I appreciate everyone's efforts, all the efforts that went into making that a day to be remembered by Brother David's family, and we're thankful for all of your labors in the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 3. And I beg an interest in your prayers, because I always get nervous when I feel like the Lord's impressed upon me to speak about something that I don't feel like I understand like I should. Or maybe that I'm just not able to understand. But in Job chapter 3, in the midst of Job's sorrows, he desires something that we might think to be strange. Here he has lost his children. He's lost his riches. His wife's turned against him. His friends just sitting there looking at it. And Job chapter 3, he says in verse 11, "Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me, or why the breast that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept, then had I been at rest. With kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver. Or as a hidden, untimely birth I had not been, as infants which never saw light. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there, and the servant is free from his master." In these verses that we've read to you, in Job's sorrow, he wishes that he had been a child that died in birth. That's what he's saying in the first few verses here. And that may seem to be a very strange thing, but Job knew something. He knew something about death. He knew that life in this world is hard. It's difficult. There's suffering. There's trials. There's tribulations. And he says, if I'd have just died in childbirth, I'd have avoided all that. Avoided all the suffering, all the sorrow that comes in life's circumstances. If I'd have just died from the womb, I'd be better off. I remember when we lived out in California, my dad received a phone call that he was asked to preach a funeral for a child that was under a year old that passed away, and he thought, how do you comfort grieving parents like that? How do you preach a funeral that could comfort someone who are in such a low place as to lose a small child? And the Lord led him to these verses. Verse 16. "Or as a hidden untimely birth I had not been, as infants which never saw light, there the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest." The comfort we have is that the child dying in its infancy never has to go through the suffering of this life, never has to experience the sorrows that we acquaint in this life. They go straight to the arms of their Savior. I'm reminded of the time when David, in 2 Samuel 11, committed that sin of adultery and then murder of Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite. And then they had birth. And Bathsheba gave birth to their child. And the Bible says the Lord struck that child. The child got sick. The child died. And David prayed and prayed while the child was still living. And the Lord didn't hear that prayer, and the child died. And we may think, that's just not fair. David was the one that messed up. What did that child do? Why would that child be punished for David's sin? Well, just think for just a moment. Whether that child's better off or David's better off. I tell you, that child's in the arms of his Lord. That child is far better off than David is. Still here on earth where he was told the sword would never depart from his family. I tell you, you are better off in the arms of the Lord. And the Lord be our helper this morning. We'd like to look at heaven. And I say, I wish I knew more about it. I feel very unskilled to be even talk about this place called heaven. But I think it's important for you and I to focus on heaven from time to time. As I think about, the funeral we had yesterday for Brother David, and think about where he's at. Where is Brother David? You know, at the graveside, Brother Ricky talked about departing. Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. And what Brother Ricky said was, when you depart from one place, that means you're arriving somewhere else. You're not just going and going and going. And if you get on an airplane, you have a departure city and you have an arrival city. You just go from one place to the other. The Bible tells us that when we die, we depart and are with Christ. Our departure is from this life, and our arrival is in heaven with Jesus. And so, when we say we're going to talk about heaven, I want us to notice something here in verse 17, and I want to show you that we can learn a lot about heaven by what we read here in verse 17. It says, there the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. First, it says, there the wicked cease or stop from troubling. I want us to think about how we can realize how wonderful heaven is by seeing what is not there, not in heaven. I want you to think about all the things that bother you in this life. Whatever that may be, there are things that bother us. And those things that bother us here won't be up there. I would say that when he says the wicked, one of the things that bothers us is the sin we see around us. The sin that's taking place around us. Well, the good news is, in heaven, it won't be there. There will be no sin in heaven. The Bible says that God, there will be nothing in heaven that is an abomination or worketh a lie. There's nothing that defileth in heaven. There's no sin in heaven. None whatsoever. But I'll tell you what bothers me, I don't know more than that or the same, is the sin that's inside of me. See, there's sins inside of me. You know, I was listening to a sermon recently where the preacher said that we're just 1 second away from a sin. We are so close to sinning. We're just right there. It could happen any minute. That's why we've always got to be on guard and guard ourselves and our desires and the things that come about. The sin is so easily besets us. It's there. It's always around. But in heaven, there will be no sin inside of us. There will be no sin around us. There will be nothing troubling us. You know, and even in the small things, just think about the things that bother us on a daily basis. You're not a morning person, and you don't like getting up in the morning. Well, guess what? You won't be getting up in heaven. There'll be no beds in heaven. There's no night in heaven. The sun never goes down. In fact, there is no sun. God Himself is the light in heaven. There is no night there. There's no need to go to sleep because there's no bed. It's a day that never ends. It's an endless day. So, you won't have to worry about being grumpy in the morning and not having coffee. There's no coffee in heaven. I don't think. I don't have any Bible for that. But there's no need for any kind of caffeine or anything that keep you going. You understand? There's no need for that. In heaven, there's that song we just read. There's no drooping, nor pining, no wishing for somewhere else where to be. When you're in heaven, you don't have to worry about being in a bad mood. You'll never be in a bad mood in heaven. You won't be drooping. You won't be pining. You'll never get sick in heaven. The diseases and the infirmities of this flesh, they won't be in heaven. Be no drooping or pining. No wishing for elsewhere to be. Tell you, you won't be wishing, oh, I sure wish I was down in hell. No, you wouldn't. Oh, I wish I was back on earth. No, you wouldn't. There'll be no wishing for anywhere else to be. You'll be wishing. You won't be wishing. You'll be right where you want to be all the time. You say, well, I don't know about that. Every time I go to a ball game, I can only afford the nosebleed tickets. And I'm sure Jesus will be up in the front and all them people will be up there and I'll be stuck in the back. Oh, no, you won't. No, you won't. Because in heaven, this is going to get beyond our comprehension real fast. In heaven, we are not limited by time and space like we are down here. I'd love to give y'all a hug right now, but y'all are too far away. We're limited by space. But that's not a problem in heaven. There is no limitations of space or time. I was recently at a service and I heard the preacher say something that I just can't grasp with my mind, but I believe it. And that is that we may think that, well, we'll be just stuck in the back corner somewhere in heaven and the Lord won't even look at us. But the Lord is capable of making eye contact with you at the same time He looks at you. He's not limited by time and space. He can look at all of us at the same time. He can interact with all of us at the same time. Doesn't He do that right now? Doesn't He hear your prayers the same time He's hearing my prayers or anyone else? Doesn't He hear us at the same time? Lord is capable of interacting with us all at the same time. In other words, every one of us in heaven will be front and center in the Lord's attention. None of us will be stuck off in the back somewhere. None of us will feel like we're out of place. You ever like that here on this life? You feel like you're just out of place. Everyone else is getting along and you're just all by yourself. That won't be the case in heaven. In heaven, there'll be no wishing for elsewhere to be. There's no drooping. There's no crying. There's no sorrow. There's no pain. There is no suffering in heaven. You think about all the things that bother you in this life. I tell you, I don't like horse flies. There won't be horse flies in heaven. I don't like mosquitoes either, or gnats. They won't be in heaven. There won't be bugs in heaven. There won't be weeds in heaven. There won't be any briars in heaven. There won't be these things that we have to deal with here on earth. There'll be no traffic jams in heaven. On the streets paved with gold, there won't be any traffic on that street. It just won't be the way it is down here on this life. There will be no need to go to the doctor. There will be no need to be busy going here and going there. I don't know exactly what we'll be doing. I believe we'll be praising our Lord, and I believe the Lord will be the center of our attention. There's a text over in Psalm 73. I'd like to turn with you to Psalm 73 to notice what will be preoccupying our time in heaven. You know, I thought about when my wife and I got married. I was given some leave time in the military, and we got to spend a lot of time together when we first got married. But then I had to go back to work. And I didn't really like that. We had to spend time away, and we had to learn to deal with that. But in heaven, there is no breaking up of the congregation, as it were. You know, Sister Eudora left yesterday real tired. And just, I'm sure she'd love to be here this morning, but I'm sure she's not feeling up to it. She's real tired. But we won't get tired in heaven, you understand. There'll be no getting tired or not feeling well or feeling up to it. That just won't exist in heaven. There'll be no being tired. But we will always be... Notice what he says here in Psalm 73. He says in verse 24, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." Now notice what the interest is in heaven. Who do we have in heaven but the Lord? Now you say, well, I've got some loved ones that have passed away. I understand that. And I believe that we'll recognize them and we'll enjoy spending time with them. But we will be focused on the one who suffered, bled, and died that we may be in heaven. We'll be praising and honoring Him. And I'd like to prove that to you by Scripture. If you turn me to Revelation chapter 4, I want you to notice something about the setup in heaven, if I may call it that. The arrangement, the way things are. And if I have to convince someone of the doctrine that we believe is true, one of the one places I like to go is to Revelation chapter 4. And here's why. If you notice, and we'll just have to grab a few verses here, that there was, in verse 2, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Verse 3, "And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald." Now notice how he's starting to mention these colors. He's starting to mention the emerald and the jasper, all these colors. Talking about the throne and the one sitting on the throne. There will be no eyesores in heaven. Everything will be beautiful. Full of colors, full of things that stimulate. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I can't really relate to some problems with paint colors. I know that some paint colors, some have told me put them in a bad mood. Now, I guess I don't pay enough attention to it, but some paint colors you might like more than another. But I'll tell you, in heaven, there will be no ugly paint colors. Everything will be beautiful in heaven. And he's sitting on the throne. God is sitting on the throne, verse 4. "And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders, sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind." Now notice he's describing the throne and what's around the throne. And I want us to notice here, in just the way this is described, everything in heaven revolves around God. Everything's around God. Notice the 24 elders, the four beasts, the sea of glass. Everything revolves around God. Now the problem with us in this life is we want to make our life, everything revolve around who? Us. Me. We want everything to revolve around me. We're starting our little league season. Been the past few days, and it seems like every team I coach, I have the same problem. Every player wants everything to revolve around him. I want to bat first. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I say, if you're going to tell me that, you're going to bat last. If you want to do that, I'm going to put you over there. I'm not going to give you what you want, because you need to be more concerned about the well-being of the team, not just yourself. And I'll tell you here in heaven, everything is going to revolve around the Lord. Now skip on down to chapter 5. And we read about the Lamb. The Lamb who's described as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who's come and taken the book because he is worthy. And it goes on to describe him, and we love to look at all that, but I'm going to skip down to the part that I want to notice. It says in verse 9, Revelation 5, 9, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and open the seals thereof, for thou hast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Now it says they sung a new song. Now, in heaven, is there really something new? You know, I'm reminded of Brother Wayne Myers would talk about, we're going to sing a new song. That new song was Amazing Grace. It wasn't really new. We've been singing it. But I tell you, in heaven, nothing grows old. Nothing gets old. No, that song we sang, "Where We'll Never Grow Old." That's another thing that bothers us in this life. It's getting old. We'll never grow old in heaven. There'll be no getting old in heaven. That may bother us down here, but it won't be up there. We'll be an endless day in our youth in heaven. It's a new song they're singing, but what are they singing? "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof." For what? "Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God." You know, we would not be in heaven if it were not for Jesus and what He did for us. We wouldn't be there. We would not make it to heaven. We'd all be going to the same place, and that's the other place, hell, had it not been for what Jesus did. And so is it not appropriate to spend all of eternity praising the One who paid for us to be able to be there? He redeemed us out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. You know what that tells me? God has people all over this planet. All over. Every tongue. You know, there's over thousands of languages on earth. He's got a people in every tongue. He's got a people in every nation. And they say, as we read verse 11, "I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne." Again, it's all about the throne. "And the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was," oh, we're about to read the population of heaven, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million. So it says 100 million and thousands of thousands, that's millions. So 100 million and millions, a lot. It's an innumerable number. There's other. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." So they're praising the Lord. And they're praising Him, and that praise goes on and on and on. Say, well, that's just great, Brother James. We're going to be stuck on a church pew for all eternity. Well, I don't think it's going to be exactly like that. I don't think we're going to be sitting on a church pew, you understand. Because you may not enjoy sitting on a church pew, but I want to notice something with you in Psalm 16. The 16th Psalm. This is a verse that I want us to consider. The Lord has told us that when He comes back, all nations will be gathered before Him, and He's going to divide them as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And where does He say He's going to put us? On His right hand. Alright? Let's remember that. As we read the last verse of Psalm 16, verse 11. It says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Now you may get bored sitting on church pew. But I'm going to tell you, on His right hand, Bible here teaches us there are pleasures forevermore. Now in this life, with our sinful flesh, we may take pleasure in things that are sinful. But in heaven, where that carnality of us is gone, and we are spiritually in the right place, in the right frame of mind, we will experience pleasures forevermore. Notice, "In Thy presence is fullness of joy." What do we take joy in? In this life, I want you to think about when you have joy in this life, that feeling that's inside of you, that the way that you feel when that's going on, that's going to be your constant feeling in heaven. Now, in this life, I remember growing up, There are things that I really enjoy and I really liked. I told, my mom about it, that if we could just get all these things that I liked over here and over there at home, then my life would just be so great. I enjoy going to Disney World and seeing all this stuff. If I could just get some of that stuff and bring it home, my life would be complete. I enjoy this over here. If I could just bring that home, I love those horses in the zoo. If I just have a horse in my backyard, I would be so happy. I just thought all these things, if I could just get them home with me, then my life would be so great. And my mama always would say, it's a pleasure. Pleasure, if a pleasure remains. See, things in this life get old. The responsibilities start to mount up. And the things that we did enjoy, we stop enjoying because we realize it's just not what it once was. I remember my wife and I, when we first got married, we were children at heart, really. We played a lot of co-ed softball, played a lot of golf and tennis. All the sports we grew up playing, we enjoyed them. And then we moved down to Florida and got some jet skis. I mean, we were just children, still at heart. We still kind of are. But anyway, we finally got to where going to the softball field became a chore. It's a burden. And we just didn't enjoy it like we once did. Just that pleasure just kind of faded away. But that's not the way it'll be in heaven. In heaven, in His presence, is fullness of joy, and that never changes. At His right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. That never stops. That never ends. And so we see a wonderful comfort in these words. Turn me to John chapter 14 and notice the words of Jesus as He talks about this. See, our husband is in heaven. The Bible tells us that this world is not our home. Our home is heaven. Heaven's our home. The Bible tells us when we die, we go to our long home. This is a temporary place here on earth. You know, we sometimes try to make this place as permanent as we can, but we're only here for a little while. And then we leave and we go home. Our home is in heaven. And it's in heaven because, as we read here in John 14, verse 1, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now notice He says, we never need to let our heart be troubled in this life, because if we believe that Jesus did the work that the Father sent Him to do and He accomplished our salvation there on the cross of Calvary, then we can rest assured of this, that He has paid for our place in heaven. Brother David Batt died believing that truth, and I believe right now he's living, experiencing that truth right now. I believe that's where he's at. And God, and Jesus says, "In my Father's house there are many mansions." Many mansions. You say, "Well, that's just great, Brother James. I'm sure when President Bush died, he got the central mansion. I'll just be stuck over here in a shack in the back." All right, again, there is no space in heaven. I can't explain that to you. I can't explain how we can all I can't understand that. That's a constraint we have here in this life that we won't have up there. But Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place for you." As our husband, notice His desire, that where I am, there you may be also. He's coming back to get us. He's coming back to get His bride to live with Him in glory. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 that He's prepared for us a city. A city that is described as lying four square. Turn me to Revelation 21 and I'd like to notice with you what He says about this city. He noticed, in a city down here below, we have to have police officers, we have to have courts, and we have to have all kinds of administration that the taxpayers have to pay for, because you got to take care of some things that arise. But you won't need any of that in heaven, because in Revelation 21,
verse 8, he says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. They're not going to be in heaven, in other words. These crimes that we experience in this life, they won't be in heaven. I had someone the other day that accused me of lying, which I think I was just joking. I don't remember right now. But anyway, he said I was lying and all liars go to heaven. And I said, liars go to heaven. Oh, yeah, they're liars go to heaven. I said, where does it say that in the Bible? And he quoted me this verse, all liars, it said. I said, well, you got a point. You're right. And the liars don't go to heaven, I suppose. But I'm thankful to tell you that I believe that my lies and my sins were all paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So I told him. He said, oh no, but you've got to pray for forgiveness for that. I said, then I'd always be in prayer if I was trying to pray for all the sins I committed. I would never not be in prayer. I'd never do anything else. I'd just be constantly praying. I said, do you do that? Oh, I pray for a lot of sins, he said. I said, well, you're a better man than me because I know I leave some of mine out. I know I do. But I'm thankful it's not dependent upon me. And what I have done is dependent upon the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And He did it without the loss of one. He didn't miss one sin. He didn't miss one child. All of them will be in heaven with Him one day. He's not going to lose one. But in heaven, it says, as we go further down in this verse, there's so much we could go into this, but it talks about in the 21st verse that the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. You know, God commanded them to have holy places set aside for His worship, for His service. But there's no need of that in heaven because everything's holy. Everything's pure. Everything is the way it should be in heaven. The Lamb is the temple of it. Verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Now hold on to that thought. The kings of the earth bringing their glory and honor into it. Verse 25. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. We've already talked about that. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Who's going to heaven? Those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. I remember that time in Luke chapter 10 when Jesus' disciples came back and they were rejoicing because they said, the devils are subject to us through thy name. He said, yeah, I beheld Satan like lightning cast down from heaven. He said, nevertheless, don't rejoice in this. Don't glory in this. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You know what we should be rejoicing in this morning? Is that our names are written in heaven. And because our names are written in heaven, those names that were written are the names of the ones that Jesus went to the cross to save. And we should not be rejoicing in what we've been able to accomplish in our life. Rather, we should be rejoicing in Jesus and His cross and what He accomplished. In the finished work of Jesus Christ, which accomplished far more than we'll ever accomplish in a lifetime. That's where our rejoicing should be in this morning. But he talks about the nations bringing in their glory and their honor. Let's get back to our text in Job 3. And notice that there are some other verses there that we haven't gotten to. It says in Job chapter 3, verse 17, where we were, there the wicked cease from troubling, there the weary be at rest. We'll come back to the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there. You say, well, I'm just not really a famous person, or not really a great person. This text tells me the small and the great are there. So yeah, but the kings, they bring their glory and honor in it. So the president goes in and everyone's like, there's the president of the United States. That's not what the text is teaching. I want you to notice something that Jesus says in John chapter 5. He told the ones he was speaking to, you seek the glory, you seek the honor that comes from men. But you should rather be seeking the honor that comes from God. I'll tell you, the glory and honor that we bring into heaven is not the glory and honor we receive from men. It's the glory and honor we receive from God. I'll tell you, when Jesus sat there at the treasury and he watched people putting the money in, and the rich cast in of their abundance, but what did he see? Some poor widow cast in two mites. May seem like a small thing. May not seem that important. But you know what? He prized what she had done more than all the rest of them. Why? Because they cast in of their substance, but she gave everything she had. You may say, my contribution has just been so small. But I'll tell you one who's noticed it. The one who's noticed it is your Lord. And the glory and honor you receive in heaven is a glory and honor that He gives to you. He's made you kings and priests to God. He's glorified us and honored us. I said that we wouldn't, you turn me to Romans chapter 8, we wouldn't have any sin within us. I want you to notice something very important about the language here in Romans 8. I haven't looked at this in other translations of the Bible to see what it says, but I'm only really concerned with what King James Bible says about it in Romans chapter 8. It says this in verse, you know, we may doubt and question sometimes whether we're really God's child or not. But I'll tell you, there are some times where you feel something in your heart that the Lord is speaking to you. Notice what it says here in Romans 8:16. The Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When you feel that time in your heart, in those moments, that the Holy Spirit speaking to you and testifying that you are a child of God. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs. If you're a child of God, then you're an heir. Heirs of God. You're God's heir. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, which means whatever Christ has, you have too. That's the definition of joint. Husband and wife own something together. They own it jointly. The husband owns 100%. The wife owns 100%. Whatever Christ has is yours. Children and heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. A lot in that, but I believe what that's teaching is, when Jesus suffered, we suffered with Him. When He was glorified, we were glorified with Him. Verse 18, this is the text I wanted to show you. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed where? In us. Not on us. Not around us. In us. And so when it comes to heaven, there's going to be a change that takes place inside of us. You know, when we come out of the grave after death, when the Lord Himself comes back again, the Bible tells in Philippians 3 verse 21, He's going to change our vile body and fashion it like unto His glorious body. We won't be in a place where we might be in this life where we're not satisfied with our body. That won't be the case in heaven. You may say, I wish I was able to do this, or I wish I was able to do that. You won't be in a dissatisfied state with your body up there. Bible tells us in Psalm 17:15, when we awake with His likeness, we'll be what? Satisfied. We'll be satisfied when we awake with His likeness. We may be dissatisfied with a lot of things about ourselves in this life, but there will be glory revealed in us. Sin will be gone. All the diseases, the infirmities, whatever they might be, it'll all be gone in heaven. In heaven's pure world, we will not be bothered by those things anymore. Talks about, it says, they're the wicked cease from troubling. They're the weary. Be at rest. Rest. The Bible talks about when we're in heaven, we're at rest. You know, it's important for us to work here below. It's important for us to be engaged in work. A lot of depression and all the despair that goes on comes from people who aren't busy enough. If I just sat around all day, I'll tell you what I'd be doing. I'd be feeling sorry for myself. I know. But when I'm busy, when I'm at work, I realize God put us here in this life, and we need to work. We need to be busy. And rather than feeling sorry for ourselves, we don't have anything to do, we can go around helping others. We all do that. But in heaven, there's no need to work. In fact, turn me to Revelation 7. I want you to notice, I believe this is another description of God's people in heaven. There's going to be a change that takes place. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We'll all be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. Job says, all the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change comes. We'll be changed. We'll be different in heaven. I used to be upset because my hair was falling out, but now I realize how low maintenance it is, and I don't mind it so much. But in heaven, we don't have to worry about those kind of changes. We don't have to worry about those kinds of issues. In heaven, it just won't be that way. Revelation 7, it says in verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues. Notice how it continues to describe the people in heaven that way. They didn't just come from one part of the world. They didn't just come from one group of people. It's all kindred, tongue, people, and nations. He looked and they saw, and they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. Our clothing be different. White robes. And palms in their hands. You know, back in those days, palm trees, palm branches, if you ever look at a palm tree and the branches, they come out and they look like fingers of a hand. That might be why they're called that. But those were used as a symbol of victory. The victor had palms, held palms. And that song we sing, and then palms of victory, crowns of glory, I shall wear. That's a declaration of what will be up there. Palms of victory, crowns of glory, that's what we'll wear. That song Brother David liked to sing, victory in Jesus. Bible tells us that He's given us the victory. That victory that we have is because He gave us the victory. He won the victory, and He gave us the victory. He's experiencing that victory right now. And you and I might get discouraged and despondent about the status of this life and the state of affairs that we experience here below. But rest assured, dear friends, there's victory in Jesus. And we'll experience that in heaven. They're clothed with bright white robes and palms in their hands and cry with a loud voice saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? I don't like it when people ask me questions, and I don't know the answer, and I know they know the answer. What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? You know, that's another thing that won't be in heaven. I don't like being ignorant. I don't like not knowing things. I don't like being in that position. You won't be that way in heaven. Your perfect knowledge, and there won't be anything lacking. John's response, so appropriate. Sir, thou knowest. See, we on earth just don't know some things. He says, but you know. Thou knowest. He said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. The sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. It doesn't matter what our tribulation might be. You know, I appreciate Brother Jason praying for our military. They have to be away from their families. And they have to experience great suffering and tribulation. But in heaven, there will be no separation. There will be no being away. There will be no tribulation. There will be no wondering what the future might hold. There will be no tribulation. But if there is tribulation in this life, notice the promise. They came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among Him. We'll be serving the Lord up in heaven. It won't be toilsome labor. It won't bring us sweat to your face. It won't be that kind of labor, you understand? Because He says there, notice verse 16, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Revelation 14, I want to notice with you. There the wicked cease from trouble. There the weary be at rest. Revelation 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Not having experienced death, I don't know exactly what that's like. But I would like to think that when we breathe our last breath in this life, we immediately go to the arms of our Savior. Notice what it says here. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Die in the Lord. I believe that it's an awakening, as if you will, that suddenly we see what we've been missing this whole time in this life. I believe there are angels around us. Can't see them. I believe the Lord, from time to time, is in our presence in a manifest way, but we can't see Him. But I believe that when we die, we immediately see what we have not been able to see in this life. When you die in the Lord, you awake and see things that you never saw here in this life. You see the glory and the beauty and the wonder that is this place called heaven. But He says that they may rest from their labors. However hard your life is, and all the toil and the tribulation, it all ends when you go into heaven. And their works do follow them. You know, I think about Brother David Batt and the kind of life that he lived. I hope his works follow him. What I mean by that is I hope that we all remember His words. I hope we try to emulate the things that He did. May His works follow Him. May the passing of our loved ones who are so precious to us, who said and did some things that we still rejoice in today, may that still follow. May the works that we do, may we spend our days. You know, we can't change the past. But we have a whole lot that we can change about the present, which will make a huge difference in the future. That when we're dead and gone, and that day's coming, we better go ahead and understand that. That when we're dead and gone, what's going to follow us? Sure, we'll be in heaven rejoicing in the Savior's love and probably not real concerned about this life. But there are going to be a lot of people left behind, like we are. Brother David's passing. And what's going to follow us? What will people remember about us? What will people say? He was already getting a head start on what he's going to do up there. The Bible says we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son. That's our destination. That's where we'll be. But may we, in our lifetime, work hard to be conformed to His image right now. You know, the more we're doing right now what we'll be doing in heaven, the more we'll realize what a precious life Brother David experienced and all of our departed loved ones experience. And may that be our case in this life, that we think about this wonderful place called heaven where we look forward to going and spending all eternity. And I thank you for your good attention this morning.